This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Thank you, Dr. Jones and staff, faculty, and trustees of CIU. It is indeed an honor to be a recipient of a doctorate degree from Columbia International. And I consider this not so much an honor because of personal accomplishments that would merit receiving this degree, but the significance of it being awarded by Columbia International University. Unique in its endeavor to equip students for a biblical worldview to minister and fulfill the mission of God to the nations. And you indeed are privileged to have acquired a part of your education at an institution such as this. There's certainly no compromise in academic quality and excellence of your degree, but nowhere would you find an environment of study that would put a context on those academic studies in a context of victorious living and preparing you for the mission of God. And I congratulate you upon completion of your degrees. And this now represents a time of transition. A transition that I would like to make an analogy of the experience in the history of Israel. In the first chapter of Joshua, it's one of the most significant transition times in Scripture narrative. It starts out very blatantly as the Lord speaks to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." They were approaching a new era in the history of Israel. But it's followed by stating very clearly there's a mission in front of them, that they were to arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people of the land that he was giving to them. In this transition, you may be rejoicing that now, though there may be further studies in your life, for now, that time has been completed. Examinations, research papers, dissertations are dead. You can put them behind you. But it's all for the purpose to which God has called you for the future. And I want you to notice the keys that God says and what this is all about as he concludes in verse 7 and repeats in verse 8 of this first chapter of Joshua, that you may have success wherever you go. And then he repeats, and you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Certainly, you want to be successful in whatever endeavor you now face, in the ministry, in the employment, the job task in which God has called you, and you've now considered being equipped. I don't know any student that is committed to being a failure. What is your goal in life? Well, it's to fail. Well, now I will have to take that back a little bit in having taught some classes and wondered about students who were not very diligent in fulfilling their assignments or studying well for examinations. But I think we can make the assumption that everyone wants to be a success in some regard. The world considers success more in the terms of material success, accumulating wealth, reputation, comfortable life. But certainly, as a Christian, far greater than anything that the world could offer in terms of its values of success would be success in fulfilling God's purpose. Spiritual success, measuring up to God's purpose and calling on your life. It just doesn't come passively and automatically. It's not something that God is totally contingent on God granting in his blessings, in his providence. But he makes it very clear, then you will make your way prosperous. You will gain success. There's something that you must do to assure success in whatever calling God has given to you. What is God's plan for your life? At what point in your life will you begin to look back and Say, am I going to finish well? Am I fulfilling God's purpose? Have I been a success in the task and the ministry to which God has called me? I've always had a more youthful self-image than my the actual reality of my life. And that has always resulted in just kind of assuming that, you had unlimited time, a whole lifetime out there in the future to fulfill God's purpose. And I remember reaching 60 years of age and realized I don't have much time left. I don't know how much time God will will continue to give me, but it's not as much as it was. What will I have accomplished? Certainly the zeal and the sense of calling for missions was to impact a lost world and to do everything possible to make the greatest impact on extending the kingdom of God to the nations and peoples of the earth. An auspicious measuring tool. And then as I reached 60 years of age and realized the time was limited, I began to think in terms of what has my life really counted for? What difference has it made for eternity? Have I been a success in the purpose to which God has called me? Well, God points out very clearly to Israel in some keys to success that I think are quite applicable to you who are graduating today. First of all, it's to acknowledge the providence of God. God says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Notice he speaks in the past tense, but they had not yet crossed the Jordan River. They had not entered the promised land. They had not encountered the pagan tribes and the great cities and the giants of the land. And yet God spoke, I have given it to you. You see, the providence of God, we talk about the providence of God. It comes from two Latin words, pro video. Video means to see, pro beforehand. God is able to see beforehand all that is going to happen. He knows what is going to take place in your life. He knows the direction, the decisions that are going to be made. He has a plan and purpose for your life. And it's important to acknowledge his providence, not to see life through your own eyes, but through God's. I remember going through a time of in leadership of real crisis, personal attack, slander, rumors and gossip that were very public. It was very painful, very hurtful, and very public. And I remember receiving a note from one of our prayer partners. It said it was just a handwritten note on a little note card across diagonal of the page. Bobby and Jerry, we've been reading about what you're going through. Everyone had. Keep the view from the throne. All it said. What is God's purpose in this? God's sovereignty. What is he seeking to do in your life? Don't get caught up in the adversity when plans go awry. When your decisions are not fulfilled, but keep a view from the throne. The psalmist tells us that God knows our coming in and going out, our rising and our lying down. He puts a hedge around us from before and behind. Everything on our words, every action, even before they are done, are written in his book. And when you acknowledge the providence of God, and recognize that whatever is happening, positive and negative, is not apart from God's purpose, then it's a real key to success. But he goes on, not to say explicitly, but it's definitely implied, that another key is to accept the promises of God. In verse 5, God says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Wow, what an awesome promises. You're going to encounter a lot of opposition, and you're going to encounter challenges and opposition. To be steadfast in the purpose of being used of God and glorifying him in the task to which he's called you. But God promises no one can stand against you if you're obedient and faithful to God's purpose. Just as he was with Moses, said, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, it's real easy to say, well, okay, this was a promise to Joshua. You know, I'm not sure that God intended that for me. Listen, if it's in the Word of God, it's for you. The promise is not so much the context of to whom it is given in the Word of God, as much as it reflects the character of the promise maker and his nature. And what we read in the extensive promises of God's Word are you to claim. Don't divert from faith that will claim and believe all evidence to the contrary, because those promises are yours. Accept them and you will have success and your ministry and life will prosper. But then he goes on in an interesting instruction that begins in verse 7. Be strong and courageous. How do you do that? Be strong and courageous, being careful to do all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. Now, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. To focus intently on God's purpose and plan. You know, I've been amazed at your generation. And students today, my children, my grandchildren, I've taught at several universities, how students can listen to their music on their MP3 with earbuds, text their friends on their iPhone, watch a television program, all the while for studying their lessons for class. Now, you know, it just baffles me how they multitask. Well, you've discovered the necessity of multitasking. You're older than most of those in the graduation today. Many of you have had to pursue your degrees while caring for family, taking on full-time ministry and jobs and employment. You know the challenge, the stress of multitasking. But there's a key to being successful in those ministries, and it's just going to continue and get even more intense as life goes on. And God says it's in meditating on and focusing on the law of God that comes from His Word. You know, students, and even at this stage of transition in your life, you may ask, now that I have this degree, what is God's will for my life? How is this going to be used? What is the job market or the ministry that's now out before me? And it's certainly appropriate as a Christian that we should be concerned about God's will for our life and doing it. But you realize how egotistical that is? What is God's life for me? You see, when we come to ask the appropriate question, what is God's will? Then we begin to get some idea about His will for our life, how we're to fit into a larger purpose in the will of God. I remember my wife sharing a testimony as a young person seeking to know God's will for her life, and a youth evangelist in her church said something to the effect, young people, you want to know God's will? I can tell you. She sat on the edge of her pew, intently waiting for those specific instructions of what God wanted her to do, and he said, God wants you to be a witness. Well, it was a little deflating. Obviously, he wants us to be a witness. He wants us to live according to Christian character. He wants us to lay hold on the victorious life that comes being led for the Scripture. Yes, that's God's will. God's will is to reach the nations, that he might be exalted among all peoples. So what is your life and your purpose in the context of God's will? God's Word will lead us to know His will because it leads us to follow Him. It shapes our values. It informs your decisions. It influences your work ethic. It guides your relationships. That's why Paul says in Corinthians, destroy arguments and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of God. Adhere to the plan of God that comes from the Word of God. Certainly one of the values from receiving your degree at a place like CIU. Whatever the equipping, the task, counseling, education, ministry, it's in the context of focusing on the Word of God and His plan for your life. So what are the keys for success and prosperity? Acknowledge the providence of God. Accept the promises of God. Adhere to the plan of God. But finally, experience the presence of God. The final verse, verse 9, have not I commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the greatest assurance that you can have. You're the first generation that economists tell us will not be as prosperous as your families. We continue to read about only 25% of graduating students from the university are able to attain jobs in the job market. It's not a positive future that's assuring success. But God tells us there's no need to be frightened. There's no need to be dismayed, because God is with you, and experience the presence of God. To be strong means no weakness. To be courageous, there's no fear. Not because of your ability, not because you now have a degree, but the fact that God is with you and you can experience God. The very reason Jesus told us, expected us to go and make disciples of the nations, it's not because of our ability, our education, our cross-cultural skills, because it was predicated on the fact that he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he closes by saying, and I go with you, even to the end of the age. When you walk with God, when you experience his presence, there's no reason to fear or be dismayed. You can be strong and courageous and will have success wherever you go, because God is with you. And may he bless you as you strive not for success, for personal acclaim, for personal glory, but for the glory of God, and in faithfulness fulfill his purpose by acknowledging his providence, adhering to his plan, and experiencing his presence.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.